So it says in the Torah, in Parshas Bo, which we were just discussing at Parshas Bo, it says, Matzos ye ochel es shivas ayomim v'lo ye ro'e l'cha chomitz. You should eat matzos 7 days. Chomitz should not be seen to you. V'lo ye ro'e l'cha so'er b'chok v'lecha. You shouldn't see any so'er in all of your borders. So that is the lab of lo ye ro'e, which is in Perek Yud Gimel. In Perek Yud Beis of Shemois, there's another lab. Shivas ayomim so'er lo ye motziv v'oteka. That no unleavened bread should be found in your houses. Because if you eat chametz, then you're going to get koris. So these are the two famous labim, Balua and Balimotze, that exist on Pesach. Balua and Balimotze, that doesn't mean you shouldn't see chametz and you shouldn't find chametz. You're allowed to look at chametz on Pesach. That's not an issur. Chometz shouldn't be seen to you. That means that you should not have an ownership over chometz where people can see them, and you shouldn't have an ownership over chometz where the chometz are findable. So because of this, we have a chiyuv, which is also in Perek Yud Beis over there on a different pasuk. Shivas yomim matzos techilu, you should eat matzos 7 days. Ach, b'yom rishon tashbisu amivotecha. That on Erev Pesach, b'yom rishon means Erev Pesach, you have a chiyuv of tashbisu, to destroy your chometz. So tashbisu, destroying chometz, is the way to get around balio and balimotze. There are different opinions what tashbisu means. Tosfos learns that tashbisu means bittul. That means that on the 14th, on Erev Pesach at night, we do something called bedikas chometz. And we also say a paragraph, kol chamiro chamiro, which is bittul chometz. And we repeat it again the next day when we burn the chometz, which is called biro chometz. We again say this paragraph of bittul, that we are making our chometz hefka ka'afra da'aro. So bittul chometz, which Tosa says is the chi of daraisa, it's also my chometz Rashi Tosa what it is. Tosa says that you're making the chometz like the dust of the earth, and Rashi holds that you're making the chometz hefka. And the Ran discusses that when you make something hefka, really, if you want it to be a proper hefka, you have to get three people together and make hefka in front of three people. So over here, people don't do that on Erev Pesach. People don't do a proper hefka on their chometz by getting three people together. So how does it work? So the Ran explains a very, very nice pshat, very famous pshat, that he's got a bit shvet. Why do you need to do bittul chometz? Lemaisa, chometz are also bahana. That means you're not allowed to benefit from them. And anything that's also bahana, I do not own. I can't have ownership. I can't marry a woman using something which is also bahana. My ownership is relinquished from something that I can't benefit from. If that is the case, then why do I have to make a hefka? It's not mine anyway. It's also bahana. So the Ran says that there are two things, the Gemara says this in Baba Kama, there are two things that you don't really own, but the Torah makes you own them. It puts them into Rishus. One of them is when you dig a pit in Rishus Rabim, you don't really own it, it's in the public domain, but the Torah puts it into your Rishus so that you'll be chayav if someone falls into it. And the second thing is chometz on Pesach. That on Pesach, even though you don't really own it, the Torah puts them into your Rishus so that you'll be over. Now, says the Ran, if I do a Maisa to show that I'm not happy with having those chometz, so the Torah will never put them back into my Rishus. So when I'm making them hefka, it doesn't have to be a real hefka. I'm not using my hefka to be mitzi these chometz for my Rishus completely. I'm just putting up a blockade, like to say, I don't want you, Torah, I don't want you to put these chometz back into my Rishus. As Megaladat, I don't want these chometz to come back into my Rishus. And therefore, when Pesach comes in, they're also about, no, they go out of my Rishus, and the Torah won't put them back in because I have shown that I don't want them. That's bittul chometz. So Torah says bittul is good enough with the Raisa. However, there's a Gzeirut Rabbanon that if you just do bittul chometz and your house is full of chometz all over the place, we're worried that you're going to come to eat them on Pesach. Why are we more worried about this than any other issur in the Torah, like truma, without a dinner, bedikas truma, even though it's also bahana to a zor, or chelev, or treif, or nevela. We don't have any dinner bedika on these things. So Tosis explains that since we're used to eating chometz the whole year round, it's much more likely we're going to slip up and eat it on Pesach. Therefore, there's a chiyuv of bittul midoraisa, and midorabon, there's a chiyuv of doing bedikas chometz, which means searching for your chometz. And part of searching, search and destroy. You have to find the comets and you have to eliminate the comets. And we're going to discuss later how to eliminate the comets. That is Tosfos. Rashi argues. Rashi says that Midraisa, this is how the Ran explains in Rashi. Midraisa, you've got two options. They're both as good as each other. You could do Bittul, like Tosfos said, get rid of your comets. You can make them Hefka. And the second option is you could do Bedika. And it also works Midraisa, search and destroy. You find all the comets in your house and you burn them or destroy them in some way. And that's good enough. The Rabbanon said that whichever option you choose, you always have to do the second one. Why? You always have to do the other one as well. Why is that? If you just do Bittul, but you've got comets lying all over your house, then like Tosfos said, you're going to slip up because you've got comets everywhere. Therefore, the Rabbanon said you should do Bedika as well. And if you take the Bedika option, so you do Bedika's comets and you burn all your comets, there's also a worry. There's a worry, I've got low battery, oh dear. There's a worry that on Pesach, you might find a nice cake sitting there. You didn't search like every single nook and cranny. You missed a little spot. And as soon as you have that for a second, oh, this is a nice cake, then that cake will be in Yerushas, the Torah treats as being Yerushas, and you're going to be over Bali Rabbani Motzi. Therefore, you have to do Bittul as well as Bedika to say that I'm getting this out of my Yerushas straight away. So that is Bali Roi Bali Motzi. There are two things you're over find that comes on Pesach and Tashbisa, which is how you get rid of those comments. So the Rambam, if you can zoom into the Rambam at the bottom over here, the Rambam says, a person does not get Malkus for being over, for having comments on Pesach, Bali Roi Bali Motzi. Elo im Kain, konot comments per Pesach. Oi chimtzoi kadesh yasa boi mais. Abol im hoyelo chomets kodem ha pesach u bo ha pesach u loi biroi elohim yichoi bu shusai afa pisha oba al shnei lavim eino loi kem natoa bim nei shloi osa boi mais. So the Rambam over here says a principle. Yeah, those of you who have learned Makkos, I'm sure you've come across this, that you do not get Malkus for being over a lav she'in boi mais. If I do an Avera, which does not involve an action, then you don't get Malkus. The reason is that we learn out Malkus. It says, the Pasuk talks about Malkus, is put next to the Pasuk, which talks about muzzling an animal. So just like when you muzzle an animal, you do a Maisa, so too, you only ever get Malkus when you do a Maisa. Says the Rambam, having comments on Pesach, you're not doing any Maisa. So if you just leave your house full of comments, and you don't do Bittul, you don't do Biur, you'll be over Balioe, you'll be over Balimotse, but you will not get Malkus, because you haven't done a Maisa. However, there is a way of getting Malkus on Pesach, says the Rambam, if you either buy chomet or you make chomet. So you get flour and put water in and leave it to rest. If you do one of those two things, that is doing a Maisa to be over Bali Rabbani Motze. And if you do one of those two things, then you'll get Malkus. That is what the Rambam passes. And it's a big sarkium, because there's another rule about Malkus, for those of you who learned Malkus, that you don't get Malkus for a lav shein by Maisa, but you also don't get Malkus for a lav hanituk ba'ase. That means an avera which is fixable. Some averas have a solution. For instance, stealing is a classic one. If you steal, it says v'heshves exela shegosi, you should return the thing that you stole. Since that fixes up the avera that you did, you don't get Malkus. Anytime there's a way to fix up the avera, you don't get Malkus. Another example, shaleach to shalach esa'in. If you take the mother bird, then you're not going to get Malkus for taking the mother bird, even though she's sitting on an egg, because there's a solution what you should do, which is shaleach to shalach to send the mother away. Another example, which is very similar to our Gemara, is noisa. If you leave a korban overnight, you're not allowed to leave a korban overnight. If you do, the Torah says burn the korban. So since there's a solution what you should do with this korban, so therefore, there's not going to be Malkus. Anytime there's a solution, there's no Malkus. The Tosfos in Chulin speaks out, the general rule is that if there's a lav and it's followed by an assay immediately, then we assume that the assay is fixing up the lav. And that's not the case over here. Like we pointed out before, Tashbisu is in a completely different pasuk. It's in pasuk Tesvov, before it even says the lav of Balioa and Balimotsi. However, since it's a logical surah, that means we know that there is a problem of having conflict on Pesach. and tashbis will make sense that it's solving that problem, then it's automatically going to be a lab in Nikolasi. It's going to be a lab which is fixed by NSA, and therefore there should be Malchus. Similar to returning a lost article over there, it doesn't say it's straight next to stealing. Sorry, a stolen article. It doesn't say next to stealing you have to return it, but even so, it's called a lab in Nikolasi because it's a fix on what you did. You stole, so we're telling you to return it. So therefore, that's the cash of Reb Chaim Brisker asked the cash on the Rambam. Why would you ever, even if you buy chomets on Pesach, or you make chomets on Pesach, why would you ever get malchus? It's a lav which you can fix by doing tashbis, by destroying the chomets. So, in order to answer this, we're going to have to look at the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim, Chof Aleph Omad Aleph, on the bottom of the page over here, is a Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein bi chomets ela sreifa. Rabbi Yehuda says, the only way to destroy chomets is by burning the chomets. He says you can scrunch it up and throw it into the wind or put it into the sea. So the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan again is Rabbi Yehuda holds you have to burn the chomet. And Rabbanan say that you just have to scatter it, just get rid of it, throw it into the sea, throw it into the wind, to make sure that it's no longer in, together in your rishos. So the Torah, when he brings down these two opinions, he says there's an afkamina between them. According to Rabbi Yehuda, when you burn the chomet and you turn it into ashes, you'll be allowed to use those ashes for your own benefit. For instance, let's say for covering up blood when you shecht an animal, you can use ashes for that. So you'll be able to use ashes of chomets. The Chachomim hold that even if you burn the chomet, you're not allowed to use them for your own benefit. Kanlo Kivega, and he says, I don't understand what you're talking about. We know there's halacha, we know from Hilchos Avodah Zarah, that when you burn Avodah Zarah, because you according, there's two opinions. If the halacha is that you're meant to burn Avodah Zarah, there's a mitzvah to destroy Avodah Zarah by burning it, then you're allowed to use the dust of the ashes of the Avodah Zarah for your own benefit. But if the halacha is to bury the Avodah Zarah, then you're not doing any mitzvah by the destruction. You're just trying to get it out of your rishus. If that's the case, then even if you burn it, you're not allowed to use the ashes. As for the Kiveika, whether you go to the Rabbanon, whether you go to Rabbi Yehuda, there is definitely a mitzvah in the Torah that the Pasuk says over here, Tashbisu, so Omer Botechem, to destroy your chomets. So now that I've destroyed my chomets by burning them, I've done a mitzvah. And if I've done a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah. So now these chomets should be mutabah not. So why on earth, according to Rabbanon, I am not allowed to benefit from these ashes? That's what the Kiveika's kasha. So come to Reb Chaim Brisker with a beautiful word. Classic Brisker word. I think this is the first Reb Chaim I ever learned in my life when I was in high school. He says that the machlokes between Rabbanon and Reb Yehuda is the sophistic machlokes. When a person is told to destroy chomets, we can clear. Is it a din in the gavra or din in the chetza? What does that mean? Is the Torah telling me that you, as a person, Reuven, you have to make sure you get rid of all of your chomets out of your rishus? It's a chiyav on the person. You, as a person, have to get rid of the chomets. Or the Torah is saying that these chomets have to be destroyed. That means the chetza of the chomets, whatever it is, the piece of bread, has to be destroyed. So the nafka minna, that's going to be the machlokes to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanon. The builder holds the chomets have to be destroyed. Therefore, we're makbid on how they are destroyed. It's a din in the chepsa. You have to burn those chomets. But according to the Rabbanon, there's no din in the chepsa. The chomets don't have to be destroyed. There's just the Torah is telling you, you should destroy your chomets. So I can do it however I want. I just need to make sure that I don't own them anymore. It doesn't make a difference what happens to them. I can scrunch them up, throw them into the wind. I can put them in the sea. I can throw them, flush them down the toilet. It doesn't make any difference. I just have to get rid of the chomets. So that's my first thing, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon. Says Reb Chaim, according to the Rabbanon, since the chiyuv is not in the chomets, it's not to destroy the chomets, it's just for me not to have chomets. Even if I choose to burn them, the ashes will not become mutter, because I didn't do a mitzvah in the chomets. I just got them out of my rishus. That was a mitzvah in me. Nothing changed in the chomets when I burned them. I was making my mitzvah of getting rid of the chomets. Nothing changed inside those chomets. Therefore, the ashes will be also according to Rabbanon. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, the ashes are going to be mutter. because I made a change in the comments. I did my mitzvah in these comments themselves, because the mitzvah of Tashbis HaGuntur B'Yehuda is in the chetz of the comments that they have to be destroyed. And by burning them, I've changed these comments now through the mitzvah, and therefore I'm now allowed to get hanor from those comments. So the question is, who do we pass the line? Do we pass the line to Rabbanon or Rabbi Yehuda? So over here on the bottom line, it comes that God's Maimonides says that we should pass the line to Rabbi Yehuda, because there's a Stam Mishnah, which goes like him, in the last parak of Tamura. It goes through a whole list of things that you have to burn, like Truma Tameo. And one of the things is comments on Pesach. So that is like Rabbi Yehuda. However, the Rambam and the Maim Mokum on top of that, he says, Ketzad Bi'o Komet, Sorfoi, burn it. Oi, Pura, Mazur, Ruach, Ozok, Leon. Or you could choose to sprinkle it in the wind or throw it into the sea. So we see clearly that he is passing like the Rabbanon. Says of Chaim, since the Rambam passes like the Rabbanon, we can now answer the cash we had on Rav Chaim about giving Malkus. Rav Chaim said that you have to give Malkus, that you can give Malkus for someone on Pesach Bar Mincha. So we had a kasher, how can you give it Malkus? It's a lav which is fixable. You can fix it with an assay of burning the chametz. The teretz is that according to Rav Yehuda, it's true. There's a mitzvah assay to burn chametz. There's a positive mitzvah to destroy the chametz, a mitzvah in the chetz of the chametz that they have to be destroyed. And therefore I can be, even if I have chametz on Pesach, I can fix up my aveira of having chametz on Pesach by destroying this chametz, by burning them. So come to Rav Yehuda, the chur, there'll be no malchus. That's another nafkmina to Rav Yehuda Rabbanon. You have to burn it, the ashes will be mutter, and there won't be any malchus. According to Rabbanon, when the Torah says tashbisu, it says destroy it. That's not telling you a mitzvah to fix up the avera that you did, that you should destroy it, and that's a mitzvah to fix up your avera. That's not what's going on here at all. The Torah is just saying, in a different language, you need to get rid of your chametz. Like we said before, according to Rabbanon, we're not saying what should happen to the chametz. We're talking to Ruby. You have to get rid of your chametz. I don't care how you do it. Throw it in the wind, throw it in the sea, burn it. I don't care. Just get rid of your chametz. It's called a lav habo michlal aseh, or an iser aseh. That means something the Torah is telling you to do positively, in a positive language, but it's telling you to get it out of your rishus. And if you don't do it, you'll be over an iser aseh. Similar to a kohen gadol, we say that basula yikof, he should marry a basula. So from there we learn he's not allowed to marry a ba'ula. The Torah is not telling him, he doesn't get a mitzvah by marrying a ba'ula. Just that if he takes the ba'ula, he'll be over on the mitzvah of ba'ula yikach. So to be, if you have comments on Pesach, and then you destroy it. By destroying those comments, you're not getting a mitzvah of destroying them. You're just not being over an isra'aseh of having comments. So when the Torah says, ba'li'oi, that's one lav, ba'li'motzeh is another lav. Not to have comments seen to you, not have comments found to you, and tashpisu, which means that you have a chiyuv to destroy those comments. Not that that's a mitzvah which is fixing up your avira, it's another obligation for you to get rid of your comments. And therefore, since it's not a mitzvah for you to destroy those comments, it's not going to be a lav in the tikkun aseh. It's not a lav which is fixed up with an aseh, and therefore you'll be able to get malchus.